This is the Blue and Orange Experience. Your official podcast of Morgan State University Athletics. I'm Lamont Germany. This week on the Experience, the basketballs are bouncing at Hill Fieldhouse. Practice is underway. What kind of season can we expect from women's basketball?
We'll bring a little bit of a surprise to you and the rest of the fans this year.
All right, Coach, I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, you can.
Head coach Ed Davis previews the upcoming women's basketball season. First game just a month away. Also on the Experience, a tough time for Coach Wilson and the football team.
Morgan State football, we didn't show up to play a whole game. You know, we started off and had a chance to go into halftime just down 7, and we ended up throwing an interception, gave them an opportunity to score, you know, to increase the lead before the half.
Morgan State volleyball coming off the Carolina trip in the MEAC on the road at North Carolina Central, at South Carolina State. And cross country back in action. They will be in New Jersey this weekend. All of that and more on this week's edition of the Blue and Orange Experience.
Deep ball, down the seam, got a man out there, makes the catch.
Here come the Orange and the Blue.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
Knocks down the 3-ball.
Lined in the right field, all the way to the fence. Rounding second, heading for third.
Who you play for?
Morgan State!
First stop on the Experience, New Haven, Connecticut. Morgan State's football team taking on Yale on the road this past Saturday did not have a happy ending. Morgan falls 45-3. Head coach Damon Wilson says, we're better than that.
I think we have a team that definitely is more competitive than we showed this past weekend. Do all the little things right throughout the course of the week, the things that we talk about. And also, we're still working to change the mindset. You know, once again, we haven't had success here at Morgan in some years here, and it's important to kind of change the mindset with the new players as well as some of the old guys that's been here.
Bears hope to turn it around in their current 4-game slide back at home. Homecoming this Saturday, Morgan takes on Stony Brook. Kickoff in the air at 1 o'clock. Volleyball on the road. A split decision in the Carolinas. Took on North Carolina Central last Friday. Lost in 5 to the Lady Eagles of NCCU. However, Morgan Volleyball bounces back this past Sunday. They take on and take out South Carolina State. Morgan's first conference win of the season. At home this weekend, Friday night, to take on the Howard Bison. Cross country spending homecoming weekend on the road up in Jersey, looking to continue their early season success on both the men's and the women's side. Time now for the Blue and Orange Experience Spotlight. In the spotlight this week, Ed Davis, head women's basketball coach at Morgan State University. Coach, before we talk about this year's team, I want to take a step backward. Before you even came to Morgan State University, a resume that was full of championships and success everywhere you went at different locations. And I know that's the expectation that you have wherever you are. Came here to Morgan State University with that same expectation of success and championships. And of all your previous stops, this is the one place where you haven't climbed that ladder yet and cut down any nets. I guess a two-part question. Is there a frustration about not having reached that pinnacle at Morgan? And why do you think that hasn't been attained yet at Morgan?
First of all, thanks for having me on, Lamont. That's a great question to start me out with, because I think about that every year that I've been here. Championships, especially in HBCUs, are hard to win because they come down to one conference team, one conference championships, and it doesn't matter whether the worst team in the conference is playing. Everybody's fighting for that chip. For me, since Coach Beasley passed, it was our goal, even as an assistant coach, to win one for the school. I just feel that situations and just basketball situations for the times that we've been so close have taken place. Three times we lose at the buzzer on a thrown up shot, something that, you know, wasn't, it could have gone either way. The one time when I felt we would have ran through it was COVID and they shut us down and we didn't play that year with Chelsea Mitchell and Donyay Redd. So when I look at those factors, those are invisible factors that I don't have control over. The one thing that I do have control over is to kind of push these kids and remind them that Morgan hasn't won one. And, you know, this has been my dream. So, yeah, there has been a bit of frustration. Coaches have a tendency to blame that on themselves. I've always been that coach. So whenever we don't, I kind of blame it on myself. Even what could I have done better? What should I not have done? But like you say, sometimes I don't have the answers to some of those questions because other factors just take place. So my frustration runs deep because Morgan's one of those institutions that's very proud, and I would love to make it hit that pinnacle for them to make them even proud of this women's basketball program.
There were signs that it may have happened last season. You guys got off to the good start at the beginning of the season. I think you had like 5-6 home games to begin the year, won all of those games, got off to the 9-0 start in the conference play, had a big win in between over Towson, and then something happened at Norfolk State, and it just, the team didn't seem to be the same team after that. What were the circumstances that contributed to first the success early in the year and then not being able to follow it up on the back end?
Well, when I look at the success in the beginning of the year, naturally the scheduling was to our advantage and we took full advantage of it trying to maintain our winning streak here at home, no matter whether it was a non-conference game or a conference game. We started off very fast, and what people don't know is that Norfolk was right behind us the whole time.
Right.
And along with Howard, two teams who perennially have been to the NCAA, and unfortunately we haven't. When we got to down in Virginia to play the next game, which would have made us 10-0 in the conference, the girls hit a wall. And we talked about it. We even prayed about it, that when you hit that wall, you got to find a way to go through it, because this team down here has been there. Even though you beat them by 15 up there, we knew that coming down here was a new story because they were right on our heels. And I just felt, you know, we just laid down. In halftime, we just went, and you could see in their eyes it wasn't the focus. And we kind of brain beat them a little bit prior to this game. Let's get it done, blah, blah, blah. And they just fell into a slump and couldn't get out of it. So now we've dropped 3 in a row, and we've got one left, and that's Coppin. And they're even playing well. But for some odd reason, the rivalry, the commitment to try to step it up going into the tournament, the kids pulled that out and won that game. And they actually talked about, well, how we beat them, and we couldn't have beat the other teams. And, you know, we wrote one word on the board. It was called individual focus, and it wasn't there. And so that's one of the things that we're working on this year, that everybody has to have an individual focus, and which is not only a team focus, a coaching focus, but a university focus for us to try to win.
Coach, in so many ways, the face of this year's team is transitional. You lost some stalwarts from the last few years on your program, including Janiyah Henson, who's moved on, Taylor Addison, who's moved on, Char Shepherd, who's moved on, a key reserve who was here for 4 years, Maya Bumbray. So some of those names that have been here and a part of the program the last 3, 4, 5 years are now gone. I was wondering if you could just say a word or two about what those young ladies, Janiyah, Char, Taylor, what they meant to the program.
Well, let's talk about Henson first. Henson had the opportunity to play behind some leadership. She had the opportunity to come off the bench as a freshman and play with a team which was constructed with Donyay Redd, Chelsea Mitchell, Jahia. And these kids brought her along in a way that I love it on a team, because the pressure on her is just to play, learn, and not worry about messing up as much. So she was kind of brought along in a great way. She wasn't the leader that I thought she could be, but the fact that she could score, the kids did respect that, so she did have a form of leadership. It got down to, at the end, you know, she did have that pressure that I put on her. She had opportunity to win several ball games, last second shots in deep. And, you know, like any ball player, you know, you don't make them all. So I felt she ended her career here with the highest, with us having the utmost of respect and also confidence in her as a player to move forward in whatever endeavor she wanted to go in and play well wherever she is, you know, with that graduate year. So she was a big miss, you know, and we're trying to compensate for that. Taylor Addison, first year here, played well, 10-10. She got hurt, came back a senior year, and still was giving us what she could give us. And if you look at us losing between 1 and 4, anything that she would have given us from 8 on up, we would have won. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things happen. Charlene Shepard locked in at the end, trying to guide this team and take this team. I thought she played extremely hard. I thought she, you know, had some lackadaisical moments. But, you know, if I got to look at it, she gave us at least 85 to 90% every time on the floor. And without that, we wouldn't have won. So, you know, she's a kid that, you know, you wish you had another year with to watch the maturity, to see how it would be this year. I felt she should have been a conference player of the year. But with the drop-off, I told her that kind of hurt her. But, you know, it was always a thing where she now understood the commitment. And sometimes it takes that for a kid to understand what she means to a program. And, you know, we just let her know how much she meant to us. So those three kids really hurt us, you know, with the graduation and moving forward.
Coach, we move forward into the 23-24 campaign, and you and your staff very busy bringing in a new round of recruits. I'm counting at least 7 new young ladies on the team this year. And if you will, Coach, let's just go player by player. And if you could, a word or two about what they're bringing to the program. And we'll just run it down, starting at the top of the roster with the young lady from McClatchy High School out there in Sacramento, California, Tamaria Rumpf. Tell us a little bit about her game.
Well, let me start off by saying that, you know, we've never had to recruit like this and possibly utilize the portal like that. But because of the drop-off and the first time in 5 years we've lost so many players, you know, we had just no choice but to go in and try to find kids we felt might fit. Tamaria comes from a very aggressive basketball program and then a very aggressive AAU program. Quick, very feisty, doesn't like to lose. I think we'll be a kid down the line once she gets through the mistakes, will run through the wall for us. Great ball handler and extremely quick. We only recruited 3 freshmen. She was one of the 3 because we felt she would come in and give us a little bit of what Henson gave us, but just a lot more speed. We have to get her shooting up to that point, but the other elements fit in for her as far as us on the press, being able to bring the ball up, initiate offense. So she was a very big acquisition for us.
One of those other freshmen is Dakota Austin, another young lady that you're bringing in this
Dakota
year.
Comes from one of the top AAU programs. We followed her throughout. She comes from the Michigan crossover. Most of the kids on her crossover team did manage to go, you know, in a lot of some of the Power Fives. But, I mean, I'm sorry, PWIs, Power Fives. But Dakota wanted to come to an HBCU, and I felt we were a great fit. She felt she was a great fit. What she brings is great perimeter shooting. The thing is, if she learns to play with the confidence and don't worry about making mistakes and live with the makes and misses of her position, she's going to be an outstanding kid to play here at Morgan State.
You brought in another guard. This one is a young lady with some experience, a transfer from Niagara University, Brooklyn Jones.
Very polished player, extremely polished. works hard. I mean, just outstanding. Has a great release, a great kid, great academic kid, as all the others are too. But Brooklyn brings in more of a polished type of play, a game here. Every drill, she's sprinting. Every drill, she does everything. And she came in saying that she would like to get the HBCU experience, and she had some other options to go. But she's coming here, and, you know, whenever a coach doesn't have to really say too much to a kid, you know she's special. And that's what Brooklyn is. I again, look for her to play between the one and the two and hopefully deliver us with the lackluster perimeter shooting that we had last year to upgrade that for us.
Another transfer, another young lady with some experience from Louisville, Kentucky, Northwestern State transfer, Joelle Johnson.
Power player, coming in from the conference, very physical, very active, could be our team leader this year. Once again, here's another young lady that wanted to experience HBCU basketball. Had a lot of offers to a lot of different schools. She is a graduate and wanted to just have that last year here with us at Morgan. I'm extremely elated to have her. I think she's going to give us that help on the boards and definitely with the interior play that we've had with maybe one or two players. But I think she'll add dimensionally to us being able to score inside. And she has a great three ball on the outside. So I'm looking forward to her in this 1 year that she has with us, really locking in and giving us, you know, that quest to try to get to the finals.
You mentioned you had three freshmen. The third freshman you brought in, young lady from the Tidewater area, Amari Smith.
Amari is not just a great player. She's a very intelligent player. She's coming from the Boo Williams camp down there of AAU basketball. Brings a very mature look, like she's been here before. I haven't seen her break down in too many different things. Great perimeter shooting. We're going to try to use her as a stretch three and or a stretch four. Just learning every single day, and that's what I love about her. No negative comments out of her mouth. Yes, coach, I got it. And that's what I love. And I think she will see a lot of time in our program this year, especially on the perimeter. Once again, we tried to enhance the perimeter shooting, and she's one of those kids that we think can stretch the floor too.
Got a transfer from the Bay Area, coach, Oakland, California, Weber State transfer, Nakayla Johnson.
Watched her on film, more of a finesse player, looking to catch and shoot as they play out in those leagues out there in the California side, catch and shoot. But she's going to have to learn the defensive concepts that I like. So I think that's one area that I've got to really work hard to get her feeling comfortable about. But and as I stated again, I guess I'm being repetitious, but once again, we're consistently trying to enhance the perimeter shooting, and she's another young lady that can shoot the basketball on the perimeter.
Coach, we haven't had an abundance of height, size over the years, but you're bringing in some this year, including a 6'2", UMass transfer, Layla Fair.
Outstanding player. Coming from a UMass team that won 27 games last year, played in the NCAA, and she brings an abundance of footwork and post play from the foul line down to the low block. She is a quick learner. You don't have to say too much to her. She goes right to work. Very, very, very quiet player, but I look at her as a silent assassin. You know, just can do a lot of things around the basket, ask the great questions, and at that height, rebounds well. So, you know, she's one of the kids, when you look at her, you're going, you know, it seems like she's soft, but no way possible. She's probably one of the bigger additions that we've got that I've definitely got to utilize this year in all the aspects of low block play and, you know, just being defensively on the floor for us.
Another young lady with some size, long and lean, coming from the SWAC, Mississippi Valley, Phoenix, Arizona native, A.J. Monk.
A.J.'s just a pure athlete. I don't know, I watched her on film down at Mississippi Valley. Probably could have been one of their top rebounders. She had a lot going on, but coming here, we're trying to eliminate and just make her feel comfortable so she can, you know, adjust and add to our program. I think she's going to be a great kid around the basket and do a lot of dirty work, you know, being able to rebound and hopefully defend the long, quicker wings out on the wing and maybe down in the post. You're really going to have to put a body on her because she can rebound. She can get up with that frame. And my big thing with AJ is making her feel comfortable coming from the SWAC, that you will be a part of our program and you will be an intimate, very instrumental part of our program, you know, as far as we look at it this year. Once again, she's a one and out kid, so we've got to be able to utilize whatever she can bring on the most positive of stage for us.
Another graduate student, transferred from Lamar University, Anissa Gibbs.
Straight up shooter. Like I said, straight up, very intense player, can really shoot the basketball, in the gym all the time by herself. So, you know, when I keep saying this, you can see we're alluding to trying to get better on the perimeter with perimeter shooting, especially from the, you know, 12 feet and to the three-point line. And if we can do that with a player like that, she's got a lot of experience that she's bringing from Lamar. But once again, most of these kids didn't focus a lot on the defensive side. So we've got to really work with them and getting them focused on how we want to play defense in the MEAC.
One thing you want to be, coach, is healthy. And we had some injury issues over the last few years. I'm wondering particularly about Kaya Ponder, who has been here for a couple of years but has spent a lot of time watching because of injury issues, and J.L. Butler. How are they health-wise going into this season?
Well, let's go back. Let's start with Butler. Butler came in, had several very good games for us last year. I felt she was going to be a power player. She got a lot of looks downstairs, just didn't finish as much. But I think as she got through the season, she got better. She will be challenged this year with some of the people we brought in. I'm hoping she gets through the injury. But once again, she's an intricate part of what we have to do, especially in building that nastiness under the boards, and that's where she is. So I'm glad that hopefully she'll be back before the season starts. Kaya Ponder was brought in here to be a starter out of Texas. Big body, can play the 3-4. Unfortunately, had the shin issue her freshman year, and then ended up tearing labrum in her leg the second year. But she's been working, and she's come out really to try to get better. And what she does, I see her starting off, coming off the bench. And if you know Lamont, one of our biggest problems last year, we didn't have the bench depth. Our bench depth consisted of Gabby and probably Butler. That was it. We didn't have consistent bench depth. This year, I think, on the perimeter and hopefully in the hole, we're going to have at least some bench depth to challenge these people when we have to make big-time substitutions.
Last question is about you, Coach. How long? You've been doing this for a while now, and you still got the fire in your eyes. You still got the passion, and this is an endeavor that can be filled with frustrations and ups and downs. How long does Ed Davis see himself continuing in this role as a head coach?
Well, one thing I will never do is stay in any situation where I'm not productive. And if I feel I'm not productive or I'm not find myself slipping, not studying tape or not doing the things it takes, I would definitely go in and let it go. As far as health and that type thing, that's a very, very important part for me. I'm not going to do anything and I'm not healthy. I wouldn't waste the university's time, and I would open the door definitely for someone else to step in and try to do way better than what I've ever done here. So it's I'm gonna give it the best I have, and you know, when it's time, trust me, everybody will know way ahead of time. I'm not gonna be that coach that sits around, because I felt, you know, to be honest with you, when I saw Coach K leave, I thought about, you know, here's a man that has everything, he wins, but obviously he saw something that it was time for him to go. And, you know, I want to get that. I want to be that guy that when I see it like that, I have enough sense to go too. Which I will, trust me.
Won't be long. Morgan State's going to be opening up right here at home in about a month. Lady Bears 2023-2024 right around the corner. Coach Ed Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, and hopefully we'll bring a little bit of a surprise to you and the rest of the fans this year.
All right, Coach, I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, you can.
Thank you, partner.
There you have it. That's this week's edition of the Blue and Orange Experience. Thanks for jumping on board. Until next week, I'm Lamont German. Thank you.